While everybody's milling, you can see the 100 stories graphic, and I cannot encourage you enough regarding this. If you are signed up to our email, there was a thing on there yesterday about it, and there is a link on there, and if you just click that and email us, if there's a story, if something happens through the week and you're just gobsmacked at how God has intervened, then why not use that story to encourage some other folk? Because that's what we need. And if you have a great story where God has shown up in your life, where you have seen him move in power, where he has used you to do something in somebody else's life, or he's done something in yours, then why not share it with the body? And so if you can email us by Friday lunchtime, then there is a chance that you can come here and stand on a Sunday morning and tell us that story. Because that story doesn't just need to bless you and the person that it involved, but it can bless everybody. And if we see that God can use you, people in this room are going to be like, wow, God used them amazingly. Do you think he could do that with me? Of course he can. And he can do that with you as much as he does with anybody else. And so we need to hear your stories. And so I've put 100 on it, that we get 100. And then when we get 100, we'll just stick another 0 on it. And then we'll have 1,000. And we just keep going, because when you release testimony in the room, it releases that blessing in the room. And so how many times have you heard stories where God has done something, somebody's told the story, and then it's released it in the room again, or it's released them in your environment? And that happens. That can happen, and that will happen again. So that's what we need to do. And so if you have a story, then please share it. And if you don't want to come to the front and share it, then I can do it, or Charlene can do it, but we will mention your name. Because it's your story, and we don't want to steal your story. So, anyway, so I hope you got the message on that one. So, thanks very much. So, this morning, I want us to continue looking at percentages, tomatoes in the body of Christ. And you're thinking, what does this mean? What is the significance of that? It's just a title. I'm no trying to be clever. I'm no trying to be smart. I'm no trying to do something that hasn't been done before. But if you have a Bible, Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18 says this: where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. And we used that verse last week. And in the message, it says it up on screen: if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they're most blessed. And there's a clear reference. The same word is used in Proverbs 29:18 as is used in the story of the golden calf, where the people have got no revelation from God. And when there's no revelation from God, they rebel. They run about, they don't know what to do, they don't know where to go, because there's no one shown them where they should be, what they should be doing, where they should be going, and then they rebel. And that's what happened. Moses was away for 40 days. So you get from Christmas and you're getting into February and everything's went pear-shaped and people are rebelling and melting all their jewellery and making this golden calf and worshipping it. Because Moses left just before Christmas and hasn't come back till February. That's how short a space of time it was. And the people completely lost their vision. They completely lost what it was that they were meant to do, how they were meant to do it, the God that they worshipped, the God who... Now, bear in mind, it wasn't God's fault that a journey that should have taken 11 days took 40 years. That was their fault because they were disobedient. But the things that God had done in the time that they were in the desert, still, even after 40 days, paled into insignificance. Ah, we have no vision. Oh no. And then just cast off restraint and we'll do what we like. And it's important for us that we have revelation. That we have a sense of direction. That we have a sense of where it is that we're going. And over these next 6 weeks, the graphic at the start there said vision on it. And what that's going to do is going to show you a wee bit of what is happening in the Lakes Vineyard Church and in the life of this church and where we're headed. It's kind of like when you get on a bus. Have you ever got on the bus and realised you were on the wrong bus? You've done that before. We had a couple of friends in Glasgow, and we lived just in the south side of Glasgow, and there was a train that would take us, and it'd take you 9 minutes on the train to get to where we lived. And I remember Sharon and Amanda were going to get the train to come home, and they had the babies in their prams and stuff, and they were walking and they got on the train. But do you know, sometimes at the train station there's two trains on the one platform, and there's a sign that says front train beyond this point. And so one train was gone to where we lived, the other train wasn't. The other train was going to Newcastle in England. They got on the wrong train. Thankfully it wasn't an express train, and they stopped somewhere in Ayrshire and they were able to get off. But it was a costly lesson. And so it's important that we know where we're going. But in knowing where we're going, we need to figure how we're going to get there. And so we need to get on the right bus. So last week we looked at what percentage of people we need to make this work. On a Sunday morning, what percentage of people we need to make this work. When you look at the volunteers, so this morning we had Amy and Julie doing worship. We had people making the tea and coffee. We had somebody on welcome. We've got people at the sound desk at the minute. We've got people on both age groups for kids upstairs. Usually that takes around about 12 people. But hopefully every week it's not the same 12. And that's a lot of what we looked at last week. But this week what I want us to look at is I want to look at our core values. And our core values hopefully will come up. Ah, there we are. And they're not just the core values for the Lakes Vineyard Church. They're the core values for Vineyard. And do you know what? Some of the wording might have changed in the last couple of years. And then you've got Vineyard USA, you've got Vineyard UK, and you've got different vineyards. Do you know, and we're all autonomous, but we're all still family. But essentially, what we're going to look at this morning is what are our core values. And if we know our core values, then we know what we're about. And if we don't know what our core values are, then we don't know what we're about. And it's important that we know what we're about. And more importantly, like Jesus says that he was about his Father's business. That's what we're about. But sometimes we have to break that down a wee bit and let people know, well, what does it mean to be about the Father's business? And just before we do that, you might have noticed that we have a flip chart. It's got nothing to do with the election. And so this is, can you read that? It says bounded set. And so what you just have is we've got two circles and all those wee dots just represent people. Right. And because we did mission in Kenya last year, I did one with UK and I did one with Kenya. And the thing you probably noticed is they're the same. Well, one is a bit bigger, but that's just because I'm a rubbish drawer. But they're pretty much the same. Okay. And there might be more dots in that one than there is in that one because that's bigger than that. But they're the same. And what that represents is that represents a bounded set. And that bounded set in Kenya and in the UK is the same thing. And they could represent, as much as they represent Kenya or UK, you could put a church denomination, you could put a group like Cubs or Scouts or, I don't know, what do you call it, Girl Guides or Brownies, you could put anything. But what they are is they're a bounded set. So what happens is, when you're in any of those things, you're in a bounded setting, so you stay within your group, and that's what you are, and that's who you relate to, and that's who, because we are the same. Is that all right? But Vineyard is not a bounded set. We don't follow that model, because we don't want to just be stuck within our own, if we can use the term, denomination. Because we want to be able to get out with the boundaries and reach it to other people. So we don't follow the bounded set model. We follow the centered set model. Okay? And so, I know this is really small writing, but on that big dot in the middle, and it says Jesus above it, just so that we know that that's who we're centered on, we're focused upon, and that's who it's all about. And then all these dots run about it just represent people. And so what our desire is, personally, is to be directing towards Jesus. Okay? But there's always going to be people who are going away from Jesus. And so what we want to do is try and relate to the other people and try and put them in direction towards Jesus. And so therefore, we have a centered set. Our set is centered on Jesus. Everything we do is centered on Jesus. That's who we are focused upon. And it doesn't matter what stream people come from, what denomination, what race or creed or religion or anything like that. It doesn't matter. Because we know people of all of those follow Jesus. Okay? And so I just thought that was important for you. So the theology and practice of the kingdom of God. When Jesus came, his central message was about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was his central message. That was it. And everything else he did was all about the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, whenever we think of kingdoms, because the majority of us here are from the UK, some of us aren't, but the other nationalities represented in the room, they had a bit of an empire as well. And so they completely understand. They understand anyway because they live in the UK. But here's the thing. When in the past we had kingdoms, or we had, you know, in the UK, we, Britain, had this empire. And whenever we think of kingdoms, we tend to think of something that's a geographical thing. The kingdom of God's not a geographical thing. And it's not like Star Wars either. It's not a force. Okay? It's not about that. But the kingdom is the sovereign rule and reign, the active sovereign rule and reign of God. And the sovereign rule and reign of God is active, and it's increasing all the time. And so what we want to do is we want to be about the practice of the kingdom of God. So if somebody gets healed, it's the kingdom in action. If somebody gives their life to Jesus, it's about the kingdom of God in action. If the poor are fed, the kingdom of God is in action. If any of these things, you know, that we read about, any of those things happen, it's because the kingdom of God is in action, and his influence is increasing. His sovereignty is increasing, and that is what we talk about when we talk about the theology and the practice of the kingdom of God. So we'll be more involved in the practice of the kingdom. And our belief behind that is strictly built on that it's the theology of the kingdom of God. And then the next thing we have on there is experiencing God. Every single one of us wants to experience God. And we all experience things in different ways. You don't have to be a carbon copy of the person sat beside you. You don't look like each other. Even if you're identical twins, your DNA is different. You don't need to be a carbon copy of anybody else. But we want you to be able to experience God as much as anybody else does. And that might happen for you in your own way. So we're not going to say to you, you need to do this in your prayer life. Or you need to do this, or you need to read this translation of the Bible. That's up to you. if you come and ask me, we can have a conversation and I would give you some pointers, but I'm not going to say it's written in our laws that you must read this translation. We don't do that. Because we're all different, we express ourselves differently, we understand things differently, we have different levels of intellect, we have different strengths of imagination, we express ourselves differently. There's diversity in the body of Christ. That won't change. And then the next one on there says, reconciling community. And here's the thing. Jesus is reconciling human beings to God. He's reconciling people to each other and to the entire creation, breaking down divisions between Catholics and Protestants, slaves and free, male and female. Therefore, we are committed as a church to becoming healing communities engaged in the work of reconciliation wherever sin and evil hold sway. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. We always focus on Jesus as the light of the world, which he is. Just in case you think I'm preaching heresy here. But he did specifically say, you are the light of the world. We're the light of the world. We are called to be lights. I read this really interesting thing because he says, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And then Jesus talks about that if salt loses its saltiness, what is it good for? It gets thrown in the bin. But here's the thing. For salt to be effective, it needs to be mixed with something to make it salty. We need to be mixed with something to bring the flavour. We need to be mixing with our community, and reconciling community is important. We seek to be a diverse community of hope that recognises the power of the cross and that reconciles what has been separated by sin. People sometimes don't know about sin and they don't know that they're sinners. And so what we have to do is you have to go whoop, right back to the very start and start from there and say, hey, how are you? And start relationship with them first before you come in and say, did you know that you're a filthy sinner? Do you know, it's probably not going to go well. And so you need to try and establish relationship within the community before you might laugh, but that's what happens all the time, isn't it? We see Christians doing that all the time. So for example, somebody could be stood at the Diamond, and I haven't seen anybody doing this, so I'm no pointing at anybody, but they could stand at the Diamond and they could shout on a Saturday morning effectively this: turn or burn, fly or fry. Essentially, that's what they're saying. You dirty, rotten sinners. And we've heard people doing that, haven't we? Have you heard people, and they call it specific sin? And they're calling it people who are in the street. That's a sin. Therefore, you're sinners. You need to accept Jesus. What does that do? What? It drives people away, because I know for a fact that if I was in that situation and somebody confronted me with that, I'd be like, okay, and I'd go in the opposite direction. And I don't just mean physically. And that's what happens, and that is what is done. And therefore, we recognise that the cross reconciles what has been separated by sin. But people don't always know what sin is, and therefore we need to establish relationship with them before we get to the point that we can tell them. And sometimes it might take a while. But this requires us to move out of our comfort zone and away from our personal preferences to engage those who are perceived to be unlike us, and to actively break down the barriers of race, culture, gender, social class, and religion. We are convinced, and I'm sure you are, that the church, locally, nationally, and globally, but we'll talk about here, is meant to be a diverse community. Precisely because Jesus is Lord over every nation, tribe, and tongue, we are not satisfied with the status quo when it doesn't reflect his kingdom reality. but we're eager to pray for the coming of God's kingdom here and now, and to release this mark of the kingdom in our midst. That's what we want to do. That's what reconciling community is all about. Then compassionate ministry, and essentially our food bank ministry, which we hope and expect to expand. We never realised that our food bank would have the impact that it has. But that's what compassion does. It's our compassion ministry. We will continue to do that. We will continue to do more. It will expand. It will grow. And we lean towards the lost, the poor, the outcast, and the outsider with the compassion of Jesus. If no one had ever shown you compassion, where would you be now? Do you know compassion in the Hebrew word literally means that you feel something moving in your bowels, and you're like, yeah, I felt that before. Right? But that's what compassion is like. It's something you actually feel. And there's some of you here, and you have this real gift of compassion. It's a God-given thing. I'm not talking about that moving in your bowels. That could be something else. But you're watching TV, and you're seeing what's happening in Aleppo. You're seeing what's happening in parts of Africa. You're seeing what happened in Italy fairly recently. You're seeing all these disasters, and you're sitting there, and you actually start to cry. And that's usually a really good indication that there is compassion in your life. Don't ever dismiss that. Don't ever sit and think, get a grip, pull yourself together. But you might just be sitting on one of the specific gifts that God has blessed you with. And as you have that compassion, through that, God is going to use you to do so much more than you could ever imagine. But you need to go with it. You need to understand that it was Him that gave you that. And it's there for a specific reason. We want people to understand that our only standing before God is utterly dependent on His mercy. And that mercy can only be received as much as we are willing to give it away. We're going to give it away. And we believe that ministry in Jesus' name should be expressed in concrete ways through the local church. The poor are to be served as though serving Jesus Himself. But I'm going to change that. Everybody is to be served as if we're serving Jesus Himself. It doesn't matter if they're poor or if they're rich. Everybody is to be served as if we are serving Jesus Himself. Well, what good would it do us? Ah, that church are really, really good to the poor, but when somebody who's a wee bit more well off comes, they just completely ignore them. Can you imagine that? Imagine that headline. Local church hates the rich, or local church, whatever. We need to show everybody that compassion and serve everybody as if we are serving Christ. And that's one of the distinguishing characteristics of a church expressing the love of Christ in a local community. We don't have community church in the name of our church, but that's what we are. That's what we want to be. But not just this community, every community that is represented. So when you go to wherever it is that you live, that you are salt and light in that community, and that you make an impact there. Because it's unrealistic to think that everybody in this room is going to live in Enniskillen. The majority of the people in this room don't live in Enniskillen, and that's great. What that means then is, because then it means that we don't have a parish structure. Parish structures are great, and they were set up the way that they were for a specific reason, but ours is further. We have a wider reach than that. And it doesn't mean that you go back to where you live and then start to bring all your people and your community here. But what you can do, you can bless the community while you're there. and you can be salt and light where it is that you live. In all forms of ministry, compassion is a hallmark of the one who was moved with compassion himself in the face of human need. Jesus is our role model, and he had compassion. The outstanding example of his compassion for me was the woman caught in adultery, and how he just threw in the sand. I told you why I think he did that, but he just drew in the sand in front of her. And he says, let those who without sin cast the first stone. You can just hear the stones thudding on the ground, can't you? Just everybody dropping them like, oh man, I was looking forward to whacking her there. Because that's what they were doing. They were like, yes, she's going to get her comeuppance now. Where was the man? Nobody was aiming rocks at him. And Jesus says, where are your accusers now? Can you imagine that woman, the compassion that she's just experienced? For, I mean, she was an adulteress. She was caught in the act. And there was no kind of trying to deny it. They actually caught them. You're like, what? And Jesus just showed compassion. That's the compassion, people, that we need to show everybody else. Let's no judge. Judging's ugly, isn't it? What Jesus did with that woman there was just beautiful. Completely unexpected from her part, and completely unexpected for everybody stood holding the shiny pebbles. They must have been devastated, because they thought, oh man. And that's how compassionate we need to be. You know, it's an age of grace. Do you know, in Luke 4:19 talks about the year of the Lord's favour. Every year needs to be the year of the Lord's favour. That's what we need to do, show favour. Compassion should constitute the leading edge of our service to God, each other, and a broken world. We need to be more compassionate. Then, the last thing that we have on the list is culturally relevant mission. One of the reasons why we don't have a Burns Night here is because that fits in really well in Scotland. But wouldn't it go down so well here? Because a lot of people are, why we don't all cut a bit wearing, well, maybe Harry does, but we don't all cut a bit wearing tartan, just reference to your shirt. But we don't all wear tartan all the time and turn up reading, you know, Rabbi Burns poems and then an ode to a haggis, which is great, and wave swords about as we do it and play bagpipes. Brian could do that for us anyway. But it's not really culturally relevant, is it? And what we try to do is do stuff that is relevant to where we're at, which is culturally relevant. So when we went to Kenya, we did stuff that was relevant there and probably wouldn't be the same here. And that's what you have to adapt to where you are. Do you know, the message stays the same. Jesus is Lord. That does not ever change. But how you package it might. The how we do it isn't important. The why is. How it looks isn't important. Why we do it is. The how is irrelevant. The why isn't. And that will never, ever change. So, mission that's culturally relevant at home and away. This church exists for the sake of those who are exiled from God, or as one of our colleagues from Hull Vineyard said, for the sake of our non-members. That's why this church exists, for the sake of its non-members. for the sake of people who don't yet know Jesus, for the sake of people who have never experienced love and compassion and grace and mercy, for people who have been shown, who have been judged by the church, let's start to show them a bit of love and show them that that isn't a reflection of Christ, that's a reflection of people. But let's show them that people can be different and show them love and grace and mercy and compassion, all those things. And do you know how we do it? Doesn't really matter. So in a few weeks, we're going to be on the diamond and we're going to give away these really strange things. And some people will be like, why are you giving them away? That's not a very godly thing. It's no ungodly. But we're going to give away Rice Krispie squares. They're essentially Rice Krispies that are stuck together with marshmallow stuff. And they're in packets. We're not going to make them. And we have thousands of them upstairs. And we're just going to take them in buckets. And we're just going to give them away to people. Never saw that in the Bible. And you probably won't. Doesn't matter what translation, even the exotic ones, you won't find that. But what it does is it shows us that we care for our community and it gives us an opportunity to chat with them. So this is, you probably can't see it too well. Can you read that? So that's just a wee kind of description of who the vineyard is. And so we stand on the Bible primarily. In the kingdom of God. That's the most important thing. And the head of everything that we do is Jesus. And then our legs are compassion and mercy and worship and intimacy. And then our arms, which you use to reach out, is church planting on the one hand and renewal of the church on the other. But what is the church called to be? A house, a hospital, a school, and an army. This is a place where you can feel at home. This is a place where if you're sick, you can come and get healing. This is a place where you can come and you can learn. Hence the school. And then lastly, an army. Because if you read Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about equipping ourselves with the armor of God. And it's only armies that wear armor. We are in a battle. And you know that. And so that is essentially who we are. And that is why we are who we are. So, Davey, can we go on to the next one, please? So, reaching out is an act in which we bring wholeness to others and become whole ourselves. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message translation of the Bible, I love that quote. Reaching out is an act in which we bring wholeness to others and become whole ourselves. So often when we go and we reach out to other people, we think we're doing them good. And we don't even notice the good that is happening to us. Because God is transforming us from the inside out. Can you go to the next one? So you need to click through this individually. So this is Rory. Some of you have seen him before, right? And he is a funny wee man. But he's even got a vineyard jumper. Do you know? He's just great. But so go for it, Davey. Reaching out, reaching in. And so as we reach out to other people, God is reaching inside us. And so let's stop thinking about, oh, but we're doing good to the people outside. And while we are doing good to the people outside and we're showing God's love, God is reaching inside our hearts and changing us to be the way that he has made us to be. Because he has a bigger plan for your life. He has some things and some tweaks that he needs to make in your life. And he wants to do that. A guy, Jerry Cook, said this. Have we got the Jerry Cook one? Can we go back? Ah, there we are. We're going to love and accept people. And if you don't want to love people, you're in the wrong place. This church is going to love people. That's what we're going to do. We're going to love and accept people. And if you don't want to love people, you're in the wrong place. This church is going to love people. That's what we're called to do. Love one another. There are so many one another sayings that Jesus said through the Gospels, and love one another was one of them. And it's high on the priority list. And we need to love one another. And then you go for the next one, please, Davey. Kerry Newhoff, who is a guy from Canada, and he says, people who focus on helping others and honouring Christ soon discover that their needs are met far more deeply than they ever experienced otherwise. You won't even know. You won't even realise. You won't even be able to say, oh, on such and such a day, it just happens. But as we focus in helping other people and in doing so honouring Christ and who he is, we discover that our needs are met much more deeply than we ever thought they were, because you reached out to somebody else, because you showed love to somebody else. So last week I talked about how to make church work on Sunday morning might take 12% of who we have. But to make the mission that we are all called to take takes 100% cooperation. Can we go with the next one? There's our mission statement. It's simple and it's basic, because I'm simple and I'm basic. It needs to be uncomplicated. And our mission simply is to know Jesus and make him known. I want to know Jesus and I want to know him better every day, but what I want to do in that is I want other people to know him, and that therefore I want to make him known to them. And that's simple. Know Jesus and make him known. And then our vision statement is to be a contemporary church in Enniskillen with a community focus, sharing God's love and compassion with everyone, everybody. But in this as well, there's another really common Vineyard statement. It's like, everybody gets to play. If you stay, you play. You get to be involved. Now, I know everybody's not called to be an evangelist, but it's no difficult to go out with a bucket with some Rice Krispie squares in them and give them to people. We're not asking you to get into any kind of religious or biblical debates with people. We're not asking you to defend your faith to Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Muslims or anybody else. If that happens, tell them your story. But we're no looking for you to have something written and memorized that when you go out and you have to say that verbatim. All we're asking is you to go and show God's love. Is that difficult? You better believe it. Is there some people here who are going to freak out at that? Of course there is. Is there some people who are going to freak out standing playing keyboard on a Sunday? Oh, you're right. Is there people who freak out when they get the opportunity to stand and speak here? Definitely. Is there people who get nervous about making tea and coffee? There is. Oh no, what if I put too many scoops of coffee in? John likes it strong. Oh no, what if we don't use enough tea bags? Ah, well, John doesn't like tea, but it's not about me. There are different people are good at different things, and we're not going to try and pigeonhole you to being an evangelist or a preacher or a worship leader or anything. God has a plan for your life, and the plan that he has for your life is what we want to see come to fruition. We will not try and make you into something that you're not, or to somebody else, because they're taken. Church is about relationship. Can we go to this? People come to churches for many reasons, but stay for only one: relationship. And that is true. It is so true. You want to be in a church where you can relate to people, where you get to know people, when you can say, like we have above our door, the Lakes Vineyard Church, a family with a purpose. We want to be like a family. When we came here, we were a family and we had a purpose, and our purpose was to plant a church in Enniskillen. But as a church family, our purpose is to reach the rest of Enniskillen and beyond. That's what we want to do. That is the purpose. But more than that, we come and we stay for relationship. You ever walked into a church that you've never been in before and you're like, yeah, this morning? But if you've ever done that and you walk in, the first thing you want is somebody to come and say hello to you. Now, we have somebody who does welcome at the door, but that's not enough, is it? Hi, how are you? Welcome, have a sweet tea and coffee's over there. If that was it, you'd be like, they missed it a bit there. Then the person who's on welcome has done the first bit. And you're kind of like, oh, and you're kind of like, thanks very much. And then you go in and then you have to walk the gauntlet, don't you? From there to there. And it's not even that far because this is no a big place, but it's a gauntlet of this sea of people who you've never met before and their strange faces on all. And then you're not even halfway and somebody's like, oh, good morning, how are you? And you're just like, normal people. But that, and here's no different to anywhere else. You want people to talk to you. You want people to be nice. You want people to be relational. And that is probably going to be the thing that, do you know, you make up your mind within the first 30 seconds whether you're coming back or not. And if you don't get that, so you have responsibility. You might not be on our welcome team. That's okay. But you can still say welcome to somebody. And if you see somebody here that you've never seen before, they might have been 25 times, but you might never have seen them. Is there anything stopping you getting up and saying, hey, how are you? Great to see you. And then you can say, are you new here? No, I've been coming here for 2.5 years. And then you're like, I'm really sorry, I'm just, and they're like, that's fine. You took the risk to say good morning. And that's what relational is a wee bit like. So here's the thing. We also have, we gave you our core values, I'm nearly done, right? Honest. But we have our core values, but we have an aspirational value. And we're nowhere close. We really are nowhere close. And that's where we need your help. Because our aspirational value is this. Excellence. Sounds like something that a Bill and Ted, doesn't it? Excellent. But we want to be excellent at what we do. If you've seen Bill and Ted, you know what I'm talking about. But we do. And our aspirational value is excellence. We want to be brilliant at everything. Not because we can be better than anybody else. We just want to do it well. And we need everybody's help to be able to do that. We don't need criticism. But we need assistance in making that work. And so if you're interested in excellence and doing things really, really well, then please come and chat to us. I don't want you to sign up for 5 things. Or 4 or 3 or 2. If you can sign up to 1 thing and help us to do that thing excellently, then we're on the right track. Our trajectory has changed when that happens. And so if we can get that, then we can get somewhere. It's about giving it away. It's in concrete ways in everything that we do. Here's the thing. Can you put up the next one? Will everybody like it? No. Will everybody like us? No. But that's why there's at least, and I counted last night, in the town of Enniskillen, 15 churches. Okay? There are 15 churches. So some people won't like how we do it. That's all right. Some people might not even like us. I understand that. Well, I don't really. But that's all right if they don't like us. But there's the thing. You can be the ripest, juiciest peach in the world and there's still going to be somebody who hates peaches. So it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter how we do it. There's still going to be somebody who doesn't like that. Peaches are lovely, but some people don't like them. And some people just won't like me. That's normal. Been there. Had that. Some people might know, like Charlene, that's less likely. But, and some people might just know, like, how we do stuff. They might know, like, the colour of the seats, or they might know, like, that the paint's scraped off the bits. That's fine. They don't have to like us. And what they can do then is they can choose one of the other 14 different churches, or they can go further afield and pick. That's why there's a variety. Do you know there's approximately 16,000 people in Enniskillen? That means that if people went to church, every church could have way in excess of 1,000 people. Now that's pie in the sky, I know that, but theoretically, it's there. So some people don't like us. They don't like what we do. We're all right with that. But here's the thing, and I'll finish just with saying, I was going to say some other stuff, but I won't. You cannot help anyone who feels you're unqualified to bring increase into their life. If people don't think we're qualified to bring increase into their life, we'll never be able to help them. If people are not listening to what Jesus is saying that their life's meant to be like, then I've got no hope. And I'm okay with that. And we need to understand that that's kind of the way it is. And that's the way people are. But that doesn't change us from being who we are and who we're going to be and who we're going to continue to be. And so on your chair, there's a sheet and it says the Vineyard genetic code on it. I would just invite you to take it away with you. We're not going to recite that. It's no equivalent to the Ten Commandments. Do you know, if you want to use it to light your fire, I won't be offended. That's fine. But it just kind of gives you a wee idea about who we are and why we are who we are and how we do some stuff. And I hope that that helps. And so, do you want to stand? That's what sets us apart from the Methodist Church or the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or the Church of Scotland or the Presbyterian Church and then that. And we all have different things. It's kind of like a big stew. And we all add a different flavour. I personally think we have a really distinct flavour that when it's not in the stew, it just doesn't taste the same. But I'm biased. But we don't think we're better than any other church or any other denomination, and that won't change. Because we can learn from other streams. They can learn from us. So we don't think we're better. We don't run about with scarves that say Vineyard, rah, rah, rah on them. It's not about Vineyard. It's about Jesus. That won't change. It's about the kingdom and the advancing of the kingdom. We are not looking to set up some kind of wee colony or empire in the area. We're about establishing the kingdom. And that's what this has to be about. But remember, how we do it isn't what's important. It's the why we do it that is. So Father, we pray your blessing. And like we said earlier, that you have made us the light of the world. You have made us the salt of the earth. And I pray, God, that we would willingly mix ourselves with other things to bring the flavour that salt brings. So would you call us out of our comfort zones, away from our personal preferences, into the place where you are calling us to be, where we can make the difference, where a difference needs to be made, where we can be your witnesses, bringing your love, your mercy, your grace, and your compassion to a world that's starved of all of those things. And I pray that as we reach out to other people, that you would reach in to us and change us from the inside out. And again, we need to take the opportunity, if there is anybody here and you're sick or you're unwell, or you would like, if you're in pain, or you would like prayer for anything else, we would love the opportunity to do that. So what I'm going to ask you to do is either to remain standing, or if you're not standing, if you could just put your hand, if you would like prayer, put your hand up. We would love the opportunity to pray for you. So if that's you, if you either remain standing or put your hand up, we'd love.